In December, there were 8.4 million unemployed people in the country. Nearly 2 million of them have been out of work for more than 6 months. Each, of course, has an individual story, and over the past year, we've reported on workers who lost jobs as factories and companies downsized or shut down. NPR's Chris Arnold has returned to some of those places and some of those people to see how they're doing now. He found that some have moved on in unexpected ways. Others are still struggling.
The Black & Decker tool factory in Easton, Maryland, was such a big employer that when it shut down, it didn't just put people out of work, it put whole families out of work.
It was my husband, my son, myself, and two nieces.
Patty Zwemer handled assembly documents at Black & Decker. We did a story on the factory a year ago when the 1,300 workers there were told the plant was shutting down. Zwemer says she and her son have struggled to find good jobs with decent pay since then. She's now working as a receptionist. But back in March, her husband, 48-year-old Jim Zwemer, came up to her excited about a heating and air conditioning job in the classifieds.
He just picked up the Star Democrat one day and he said, I would love to install heating and air conditioning. He said, I don't know nothing, but he said, I would love to do it.
And he got the job. Jim Zwemer used to run an assembly line making drills and saws and had 30 people working under him. He made about $15 an hour, but like anything else, finding and being happy with a new job can have a lot to do with perspective, and Jim is someone for whom taking a pay cut and an entry-level job was just one of those things.
I was kind of bored with what I was doing basically at Black & Decker. You figure 20-some years basically doing the same thing. This I have a lot of challenges. You know, it's just a fun job, you know. People wouldn't think so. It's not a glamorous job, believe me. I mean, you're crawling under houses with snakes and spiders and everything. But it's just that, you know, you can see what you accomplished at the end of the day.
Zwemer says the other workers at the small heating business really took him under their wing, and his supervisor says he'll pay for him to go back to school to learn more plumbing and other skills. But a lot of people are having a much rougher time of it. You might remember a story we did about Jim and Jean Sandini in Berlin, Massachusetts. Jim found out he'd lost his $80,000 a year job as a computer chip designer right after he got engaged. His wife Jean moved here from Scotland, and they got married anyway. But Sandini still hasn't found a job in his very specialized field, and he's miserable about it.
I just feel terrible that I married this woman, and I haven't met the basic needs of a marriage. It's been a year and a half. I have been out of work for a year and a half. It's even hard for me to say that. But Jean is just there all the time for me. I'm at the point that I'm terribly confused as to where to head, what to do.
But Sandini says he's aware that decision is being made for him because even with Gene now working at a customer support job, they've still spent 70% of his savings. So he says soon he'll have to take any kind of job he can get, even though he's afraid that will cost him his 18-year career as a chip engineer. We interviewed another unemployed high-tech worker this year, though, who was eager to change careers.
How would you write that?
C is greater than T.
Greater than T sub 2, yeah. But it's this
Ed Kerrigan is helping one of his eighth graders with a math problem. After losing his six-figure software engineering job, Kerrigan said he realized that he hated his job anyway, and he quickly decided to become a public school teacher. And he's done it in Hanson, a suburb of Boston.
I'm having a great time. You know, the first month I was kind of like, why did I do this? You know, it was just such an adjustment having to, like, herd cats.
Kerrigan says he's learned some things the hard way, like when he called on one student in class who didn't know the answer.
The student said, you know, well, I don't get it, you know, and I just thought they were kind of blowing it off and not trying. So I said, you know, well, the problem is you're not trying hard enough. And literally 5 seconds later, I look over and the kid's like crying, you know, at his desk, which made me feel horrible.
After the 20-minute lunch break, Kerrigan is walking the halls here at the Hanson Middle School, passing 7th and 8th graders who offer all kinds of comments.
Nice pants, Mr. Kerrigan.
Mr. Kerrigan's funny, though.
Kerrigan does a good job of getting students headed to their classes, but he says he still feels like he's got a lot to learn.
It's strange, because I have this vision of, I guess, montage of, like, all these teachers that I've had, that some of them were really loud and vocal and, you know, some that were just really funny and friendly, and it's hard. I mean, you think they were very, those people were all very inspirational to me, you know, and it's like I feel a little bit of that pressure of, you know, I've got to make a difference, you know. but it is a lot of fun.
Chris Arnold, NPR News.